Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm joined by Ambassador Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, and David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We begin with the sound of gunfire. David, the Times of Israel reporting barrage of rockets fired from Lebanon at Western Galilee, no immediate injury reports. This makes 60 rockets in these last hours. Hezbollah continues to strike at blindly at North Israel, despite the efforts of negotiation between Washington, Beirut, and Jerusalem. It's unclear to me this barrage continues to what end. Is there an ambition other than the original pounding on the table, we're supporting Hamas? Good day to you, David.
Day to you, John. Well, part of it is that Hezbollah needs to remain victorious. They need to have an image of victory and demonstrate a commensurate image of Israeli defeat. Right, the way they repositioned or refashioned the notion of victory, if you listen to Naim Qassem or even former Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, their objective as a, quote, resistance organization is not to defeat Israel in the classical sense, right? They realize that if they put that as an objective, reality will overtake them. Their objective, they said, is to foil Israel's goals. And Israel's goals are to be able to return its civilians to the north, from which they were displaced by Hezbollah's rockets, in safety. How do you do that? You continue to fire rockets. You continue to make the North unlivable by having these rockets fall. And this for your base, you can take this and then say, look, we weren't defeated. Despite this, the Israeli juggernaut's effort, unprecedented efforts, in fact, to defeat Hezbollah, to silence our guns, we were able to launch off rockets in dozens of batches until the end of the war. We survived. Therefore, we were able to foil their goals, and therefore, we are victorious. That's the end goal here. With Gaza, look, it remains part of Hezbollah's objectives to continue fighting until a prior ceasefire in Gaza is achieved. But now they've shifted, right? Now they've said that we're no longer in a support front situation. We're in our own war, and that has its own objectives, which are, again, foiling Israel's war plans.
Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. Weeks left in the Biden administration. I mentioned on-again, off-again negotiations between the three capitals. However, I come to this other remark out of Iran that the new president, Pezeshkian, is looking for talks to the United States. What is to be done in these closing weeks for the Biden administration and Iran? Good day to you.
Good day. The whole world knows that this is a lame duck administration. People are trying to run the clock out. The administration, of course, will use its influence and its power to the best extent possible, and one should not grudge them trying to do that. But I don't think that anybody will go into a serious agreement or deal with an administration that only has until January. And while the administration can do specific things like letting Ukraine use missiles against Russia, etc., I don't think that it has a very strong hand to be able to negotiate much with other countries. And while Iran may want to start a process of talks because they do consider the Trump administration to be less disposed to talking to them, I don't think that Iran will, beyond expressing a desire to talk, go into talks that will foreclose options that they might be able to have under a new administration.
David, I ask whether Hezbollah is looking for Iran to find a way for them to get out of this tangle of being pounded, having their leadership stripped from them. And every day there are reports of members killed in IDF strikes. Most recently, the media chief of Hezbollah killed in an IDF strike. Is Hezbollah counting on Pezeshkian to engage in dialogue and slow the Israeli onslaught? Is there any far-fetched thinking like that in the news?
I mean, I think there is definitely an element of that, irrespective of whether it's being reported in the news or not. The Iranians have been playing a pressure game from the outset of, before this conflict spread into Lebanon. Using the international community's fear of Gaza turning into a regional conflagration, they've been saying the continuation of the war means regional conflagration, so stop the war. That logic continues to operate when it comes to Lebanon. Hey, if you don't want this spreading and getting out of hand, stop the Israelis in Lebanon. I think the international community's kind of moved on from that. Where Hezbollah is betting elsewhere, though, is on the apparatuses of the Lebanese state, particularly Nabih Berri, the Speaker of Parliament, who he's an ally slash rival of Hezbollah. But he's been known to play the political side of the military coin that Hezbollah is playing. This goes back to 2006, where he did this, where Hezbollah is fighting, and he's using the legitimacy he has as someone who the West will talk to achieve a ceasefire. Now he's doing the same thing. Hezbollah has said, we have trusted this man. We've entrusted him completely. We've tasked him completely to take on the political side of this fight. And he's doing that. He's promising all types of things to the United States, to the international community, saying, yes, we'll enforce 1701. Yes, we'll talk about all of this just to get a ceasefire. And then once a ceasefire is achieved, we'll go back to the status quo ante. He's not saying that, obviously, but I'm analyzing the situation that there will be a return to the status quo ante where nothing is done. And I think that's where Hezbollah is really betting now, that the legitimacy that the Lebanese government has with Western interlocutors will be able to achieve them that ceasefire, to achieve an end to the pain that the Israelis are inflicting upon them, and then give them the opportunity to regenerate after the war.
Mr. Ambassador, you're quite correct about lame duck. However, there's reason to believe that Iran is looking to set up what can happen right away in January with the new administration. I note Lebanon, as David just said, but there are other factors here that we can take into account. The meeting in Azerbaijan right now, the COP meeting about fossil fuel and the future and green. The Biden administration was sympathetic. The Trump administration is not. That would look to empower our Middle East allies, and it would look to challenge Iran, because the Trump administration, at least in the early remarks by people who are familiar with the thinking, that they're looking for maximum pressure, meaning embargoing Iranian oil. All of that adds up to a stew here at the end of the year. Can we make sense of it at all? We're going in different directions simultaneously. Embargo, talks, war fighting, price of oil, and drill, baby, drill. What do you make of it, Mr. Ambassador?
Well, very, very frankly, look, the world is preparing for an environment in which the United States is not going to use multilateral institutions very much, whether it's in terms of security issues or in terms of climate change. The Trump administration is going to be a climate change skeptic administration. They pulled out of the Paris Accords. And if the Biden administration makes a commitment, which they are not doing at the moment, at COP29 in Baku, they will do so with the full knowledge that the incoming administration is going back on it. And so the other countries are also not pursuing it with the same vigor that they might have if they knew that what will be committed will be fulfilled. So therefore, we are already seeing an issue that while in terms of setting goals and targets, COP is continuing its work like it did before. There is reluctance on the part of Saudi Arabia, which had reluctantly accepted in COP28 mention of fossil fuels in the final declaration, to let that happen again. So that basically shows that they know that they have an ally and friend in the next administration, an ally and friend for fossil fuels. And the declaration that will come out of COP29, the final words, are going to be very different from what came out of COP28.
The threatened embargo, not threatened, the talked about embargo, maximum pressure, I believe, is the euphemism they're using. Does that have connection to any of these Middle Eastern powers, UAE, Saudi Arabia? The price of oil could be affected by the maximum pressure.
It could, and at the same time, if there is going to be increased production in the United States, the price of oil will also be affected by that. So how the Ukraine war plays out and whether Russia comes back with full force on the oil market, that will also have an effect on the price of oil. As for Iran, their attitude most likely is going to be to try and calculate how maximum pressure this time would differ from maximum pressure last time. So as far as the Arab allies of the United States are concerned, most of them would be quite happy with a maximum pressure strategy by the United States vis-a-vis Iran. Question is, will it have effects that would be different from the last time?
We're speaking with Ambassador Hossein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, and David Dayoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. When we come back, is there a deal anywhere for Lebanon because it has energy resources that are not now being exploited? And that may be a path forward to get out of this gunfight at the North Israeli border. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Baxter.
We use sunscreen para proteger la piel, ¿verdad? So why not be proactive protegiendo tu salud bucal también? Hola, mi gente, soy Amara La Negra y con el sistema de prevención activa Colgate Total, tú puedes ayudar a prevenir problemas bucales como las caries y gingivitis antes de que empiecen. The reformulated toothpaste, innovative toothbrush, and refreshing antibacterial mouthwash were designed to work together to be 15 veces más efectivos reduciendo bacterial buildup, la causa principal de los problemas orales en solo 6 semanas, starting in week 1, compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and a flat-tongue toothbrush. Eso es prevention power, baby. Compra el sistema de prevención Activa Colgate Total visitando shop.colgate.com/total. Protect your oral health and be dentist ready.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.